Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you. I wonder if you were there. We seem to have missed a couple of verses off the reading, so let me just read verses 14 and 15 whilst we're on the right page. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Well, do keep your Bibles open just there. It can be very awkward to discover something about yourself you hadn't realised. I'm sure we've all had the experience of heading off into the day, utterly unaware that we've got a piece of toilet paper stuck to our shoe, or a big blob of ketchup on our shirt, or that our top is on inside out. I was recently out on the high street running a couple of errands, and I was dressed up, I thought, rather snazzily and smart. I had a sort of meeting later on that day, and it was only when I got back I realised that my flies had been open for the entire morning. Explained why people were smiling at me so much on the high street. And so sometimes the things that we assume about ourselves turn out to be otherwise. In my case, that I am suave and able to dress myself. Now, those sorts of things we quickly recover from, but there are other times when we discover something about ourselves that is much more serious. Maybe we discover that we're not as competent at our job as we assumed. Or we're not as valued by our spouse as we had thought. Or that we're not as physically healthy as we had assumed. These things can be devastating to discover. But most serious of all is the discovery, perhaps, that we're not as sorted with God as we thought we were. That is the case for this man, Nicodemus, in John chapter 3. He would have begun his day with no reason to question that he was one of God's people. And yet through his encounter with Jesus, actually needed to discover that that was not the case. And I take it this incident is included in John's gospel because there are many today who would call themselves Christians, and who need to discover, like Nicodemus, that they're not. And there may well be some of us like that here this morning. So let's pray that God would help us to understand his word as we look at it together. Let's bow our heads. We thank and praise you, our Heavenly Father, that you are with us as we study your word. We pray that you would give us understanding of what Jesus is saying and what that means for each one of us, understanding of where we are with you, understanding of what we need to change in our thinking. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, two things for us this morning. The first is that you must be born again. Verses 1 to 8. You must be born again. That is Jesus' message to Nicodemus. We meet Nicodemus in verse 1. He's a man with a lot going for him. He's one of the Pharisees, we're told. He's one of those people who is upright and moral, the kind of guy you want your daughter to marry. He is upstanding. He is committed to the traditions of the people. We're told as well that he's a member of the Jewish ruling council, so he's part of the elite. And we discover as well, a bit later on in this passage, that he is one of the leading teachers. The kind of guy they would wheel out for thought for the day. And we see in verse 2 that he's curious about Jesus. So we're told in verse 2, he came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." So he's respectful. He calls Jesus a rabbi, even though he's not sort of officially one. He might be a bit wary. He comes to Jesus in the night. It might be that he doesn't want people to see him. And he's intrigued. He knows Jesus has done amazing miracles, and he knows that must be God working through him. And so he wants to kind of suss Jesus out, see if they're on the same page, see if Jesus is kind of with him. Well, he might not be sure about Jesus, but Jesus is sure about him. Verse 25 of chapter 2, we're told that Jesus did not need man's testimony about man. doesn't need you to tell him anything about anybody else. For he knew what was in a man. Jesus sees into the hearts of all people. He knew what was in a man, and then straight away, chapter 3, verse 1, now there was a man called Nicodemus. And Jesus knows his heart. And so in verse 3, Jesus sort of ignores what Nicodemus has said and cuts right to the chase. He says, I tell you the truth. And when Jesus says, I tell you the truth, it's his way of saying, this is a big deal, what I'm about to say. This is how it works. You know, look at me and listen to what I'm saying. He says, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. So Jesus' message to Nicodemus is, you must be born again. This man who everyone would have thought was not only one of God's people, but one of the great ones among God's people. Jesus says, you need to be born again. You need to be receiving a new birth. Now, we tend to hear the phrase born again, and we sometimes think of a certain kind of Christian, often someone who might be a bit sort of fanatical. Or maybe we think of one of the sort of plastic TV evangelists you get on the God Channel or something. Well, when Jesus says you need to be born again, he says God needs to do something radical in you for you to have any part of him. And at stake, Jesus says, is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the world we long for. It's a world with everything as it should be. It's the world we were made for. A place of no injustice, of no suffering. And Jesus says to be part of that kingdom, even to see it, you must be born again. He says to Nicodemus, you're not ready yet for God's kingdom. If you were to turn up now, you would not be able to enter. And friends, that is a devastating thing for Nicodemus to hear. Now, I think I've mentioned before my habit of saying the wrong thing when someone introduces a baby to me. I'll get the gender wrong and say, she's gorgeous, what's her name? And they'll tell me it's Steve. And my best friend once had his first baby girl, and he came up to show me his little daughter. And I pointed out, not inaccurately, that she looked a lot like Gollum from Lord of the Rings. And learnt you don't say that to a brand new father, even if it's true. Well, just imagine someone introduced a baby to me, and I looked at the child, and imagine I said to the parent, I think your baby needs to be born again. Can you imagine the offence that would be taken? Well, Jesus can look at a man as upright, as respected, as good as Nicodemus, and he can say to him, you must be born again. And it's not just the case for Nicodemus, it's the case for everyone. Jesus says in verse 3, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. Now, for Jesus to say that must mean that things are far more radically worse with us than we had ever realized. Pretty much all of us, I take it, would admit that we're not perfect. That there are things we've done wrong, things that we shouldn't do. And in that sense, we might be willing to admit that we're sinners. But for Jesus to say everyone must be born again must mean that sin isn't just about actions, which we can kind of change. But sin must instead be about the heart, which we can't change. Jesus must mean that sin is something that doesn't just damage us, but actually destroys us. It doesn't just kind of prang us, it writes us off. By saying you need to be born again, Jesus is saying you don't just need a change in you, you need a change of you. Well, Nicodemus, you might expect, gets a bit defensive in verse 4. And he says, how can a man be born when he's old? Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Nicodemus is saying to Jesus, are you serious? I mean, you're kidding, right, being born again? I mean, I can get my old mum over here, if you like, Jesus. We can give this a go. But I don't think she's going to go for it. My memory's hazy, but the first time round, I gather it was a little bit tight, a bit of a squeeze. I don't think I'm going to be able to get in there again. But it's not physical birth that Jesus is talking about. So he says in verse 5, again, I tell you the truth, Nicodemus, listen up. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. That is the kind of new birth, Jesus says, we need. A birth that is by water and Spirit. And I take it Jesus means by water that we need to be washed, we need to be cleansed spiritually. Our track record needs to be wiped clean. And by saying we need to be born of the Spirit, Jesus says we need something of God inside us to change us, so that we don't keep living pushing God out of our lives. That is the new birth we need. We need to be cleaned up from what we've done, and we need to be changed so that we don't keep doing it again. It's not a flesh thing, Nicodemus, it's a spiritual thing. And as with any birth, it's not one we have a huge amount of control over. Jesus says it's a bit like the wind, verse 8, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Just as you don't control the wind, you don't beckon the wind to come. It just happens. So it is with being born. You weren't particularly the active player in your birth. Your mum did that, you know, pretty much did the lion's share of the work there. You didn't decide that you were going to be born. And so it is with our new birth. It is something God needs to do in us by his Spirit. Well, that raises the question that Nicodemus asked in verse 9, which is, how? How can this happen? How can this even be possible? How can God just do that to us? How can he just wipe us clean and give us a new nature? Well, wonderfully, Jesus doesn't just come to point out the blob of ketchup on our shirt. He comes to show us what we need to do. So as well as telling Nicodemus that you must be born again, Jesus also says that he himself must be lifted up, verses 9 to 15. So Nicodemus asks, how? In verse 9. And Jesus replies with a bit of a rebuke in verse 10. He says, in effect, well, actually, you should know this if you know your Bible. Jesus says in verse 10, you are Israel's teacher. And do you not understand these things? Jesus is saying, this should not be a surprise to you, Nicodemus. You should know this stuff. It's in the Old Testament. I'm not pulling this out of my hat. I'm not making it up. In fact, we can look this up another time, but it's back there in Ezekiel 36. Back in Ezekiel, God had said to his people that they were dead spiritually. They had hearts of stone. And he'd also promised that he would bring them to new life. And in Ezekiel 36, he promised that he would sprinkle them with water and wash them. And he would put his Spirit in them and give them a new nature, a new life. And Jesus is saying, Nicodemus, this would not be a shock to you if you knew your Bible. And more than that, verse 11, you would know this if you were from where I'm from. So verse 11, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. And that is the way of things. We can only speak of what we've got experience of what we can have known about for ourselves. But Jesus continues, but you people still do not accept our testimony. You know, Nicodemus, have you actually been to heaven? Are you really in a position to know how it works more than I do? Because verse 13, Jesus says he is the only one who has had first-hand experience of heaven. He says, no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Jesus says, I've been there. I know how it works. And this new birth is only going to be possible if I am lifted up. So he says in verse 14, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Now Jesus, talking about Moses and snakes, is referring to an episode from the book of Numbers. And some of us from the 630 will remember this from last term. And at that time, the people of God had been sinning against God, and so God sent them punishment. He sent venomous snakes into their midst, and many of them were bitten and poisoned, and a good number of them died. But as well as providing punishment, God also provided rescue. He instructed Moses to make a snake out of bronze, to put it on the end of a pole and to lift it up, and anyone who saw it and looked at it would live. And you might think, if you're anything like me, well, what, how does that help? Why is holding up a pole with a toy snake on it any good to anyone? Well, just imagine there's a huge, greasy, smelly, diseased rat in this building. And it's running around and everybody is freaking out. There's panic and chaos everywhere. Now, I'm the most squeamish person on the planet, so I'm not going to be any help. I needed a friend to remove a slug from my kitchen floor recently. So it's going to have to be Will who goes after it and sorts it out. So just imagine Will stomps on it and kills it. And the best way for Will to show everyone that he's killed it would be for him to put the rat on the end of a pole and hold it up so that we can all see it's been dealt with. And so when God gets Moses to put that snake up on a pole, he is showing the people that God has dealt with their sin. He's dealt with the problem. All they have to do is see that and twig. And Jesus says, the Son of Man must be lifted up. Just as that snake was lifted up, so too the Son of Man must be lifted up for us to be saved. And you might think, well, Jesus, that's not a great parallel. Because it was the snake that was the problem. And it was the snake that was lifted up. You are going to be lifted up, but you're not the one who's my problem. Sin is my problem. That's the issue, that sin that's biting and poisoning. So how is you being lifted up going to help? Well, we need to remember the words of Paul. And they're great words to bear in mind as we come to the Lord's table in a few minutes. Because Paul wrote that God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Jesus did not sin, but he became sin itself. He became the sin that has poisoned and infected all of us. He became sin and was lifted up on the cross. And more than that, he was lifted up from the cross to new life for us. Look at these words from the beginning of 1 Peter 1 on the screen. Peter writes, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth. New birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, through the lifting up of Jesus Christ. We must be born again, and Jesus says he must be lifted up. That's what needs to happen with Jesus. The Son of Man must be lifted up. And notice what needs to happen with us in verse 15. Jesus says that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Jesus says we need to believe in him. And friends, we mustn't mistake believing about Jesus with believing in Jesus. It's very easy to believe about Jesus and to think, well, I believe that Jesus existed. I believe he did these things and said these things. I even believe he may have done them for me. No, to believe in Jesus is to entrust ourselves to him. To recognise that we can be nowhere with God apart from him. That it is only through Jesus, through his being lifted up, that we can share his new life and be reborn. So friends, it can be difficult to discover something about ourselves that we hadn't realised. And there may well be some of us this morning need to realise something very important about ourselves, which is that you cannot be a Christian if you are not born again. You can't be a Christian just because you like Jesus. You can't be a Christian just because you like Christian teaching and Christian ethics. You're not a Christian just because you like church. Jesus says you can only be a Christian by being born again. And so for those of us this morning who might be coming to a realisation that perhaps we haven't received that new birth, well, look again at verse 15. Jesus says, everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. You need to believe in him. And to believe in him, you need to understand what he's come to do. And as we've said, that the very best place to do that is Christianity Explored. Or please come and have a word with any of us. But for those of us who know and rejoice that we have been given new birth, well, as Peter says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Much thanks is owed to him. And as we praise him for that new birth, we must surely be burdened for others to share in that new birth as well. So let's pray for God's help. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Our Father, these would have been difficult and painful words for Nicodemus to hear. And they may be difficult and painful words for some of us to hear. And yet, Father, how vital it is to know these things. So please help us to know that Jesus does tell us the truth as he says this to us. Father, please help us to not be kidding ourselves about where we are with you. Help us, please, to know that we cannot come to you unless you give us new birth. So we pray that each one of us would again look to the Son of Man lifted up and believe in him. And we pray in his name. Amen.